But first, the best part of the dive, the float through the guts of the ship. Taking her hand, he guides the Talon down to the mouth of the wreck and then into it. He draws her close, embraces her so they float horizontal to the seafloor, and then, with one flipper, turns them around so she spins upside down, staring up to the surface. Through her faceplate, he sees her taking the reef around them, the motes of silt dancing in the water above, stark in the shafts of light. Sees her eyes widen and the exclamation of delight muffled by her regulator. Oh. They are wearing only the thinnest of wetsuits, and through the neoprene he feels the tension in her back, the delicate belly there muscles which shiver as he touches her. Connor allows himself the subtlest caress, one hand on her hip, the other on her forearm, and then pushes away, putting slight torque on her so she spins in dreamlike pirouette as she spins through the carcass of the ship. Connor leaves her to marvel, kicks forcefully ahead and up the slight incline where the bottom of the wreck sprawls upwards and then suddenly vanishes over the coastal shelf. This is the secret of the wreck, that the mellow current draws you through the reef like a dream, but in the final few metres, as the warm waters of the reef are sucked down into the abyss, the flow unexpectedly picks up and hurtles divers out over the coastal shelf and down. One second, you're floating in the shelter of the reef, clownfish darting playfully in and out of anemones, and the next, you're snatched up by a rip that sweeps you out into the infinite black below. It's dangerous, but only if you don't know what you're doing, and Connor knows what he is doing, has done it 1,000 times before. While the Talon dawdles through the wreck, Connor powers ahead and will be waiting over the abyss to catch her when the current seizes her. He'll take her in his arms and then they'll swim together to the surface, but not before she's had a moment of stomach-dropping terror, the depths of the ocean calling her to her death. He had a thesis. Everybody likes adventure, and even if they don't, they like the idea of an adventure. Few people want to think of themselves as no fun, or else they would never get onto a boat with him in the first place. Everyone is wired the same way. The best way to bring someone to life is to shock them, to give them a taste of the void, a glimpse into the endless freezing cold that lies outside their comfort zone. Connor has come to believe that this is what everybody is looking for, why they trail through this town, through this state, this country, this forsaken beach. A chance to feel alive by any means necessary. He's done this before, many times. Knows that when he surfaces with the Talon in his arms, she will be a new person, every nerve fibre alive with fizzing possibility. But Connor doesn't want to take any chances in this chop. With this poor visibility, he waits braced against the cliff edge for the Talon to come over the lip. And when she comes, she's moving faster than he expects, not drifting with the current, but barreling along with it, big kicks and sweeping breaststrokes powering her forward. Just a flash of fin and wetsuit, and then she's gone into the black. Connor is after her in a second, and then he's alone in the void. Visibility is down to nothing, less than nothing. He listens desperately for some clue, but his bad ear is useless and his good one confused by his own ragged breathing, the roar of the outboard motor of the boat starting up on the surface. Taking a guess, he duck dives, stretches out a hand, and, a miracle, it lands on a fin. The other swimmer is panicked, no longer confident, but flailing, bubbles from the regulator spraying all over the place, blinding Connor. By tugging on her arm, Connor is able to communicate, up, up. He takes her weight, reaches down to a dive belt and drops her bellast, kicks up. Only when they break the surface, when he reaches for a mask to reassure her, does he realize what's happened. Don't touch me, the man snaps, one of the other divers, swimming alone, separated from his partner, now muddled and embarrassed. I'm fine, you back right up. Connor dives again, into the black, down as far and fast as he can until his lungs sing and the pressure in his ears threaten to cave his head in. He stops, forces himself to think. There is no sign of her in the wreck, or out in the blackness of the coastal shelf. He kicks down deeper, feels his good ear screaming in protest, realizes he's risking the bends, hovers, a loose neutron vibrating in agonized uncertainty. Something is wrong with the water, furious around him. Chunks of coral and steel are breaking off the wreck and flying by him, something unreal and unstrung now about the world. Maybe he's already dived too quickly, nitrogen in the blood, in his brain, making him loopy. He starts kicking up, and when he reaches the surface and tears off his mask, he finds the wind is wild, hot, wet. The change is in the air. The monsoon has arrived now with fury, the rain coming in fat, sharp needles against his face. The boat has ripped free from its anchor and is headed back to shore, and far away on land he hears the ancient church bell on the old Portuguese church tolling wildly as the wind rips it off its rope and back and forth. And Connor, hoping against hope, swims for the boat.